And again, all God's people said, can you imagine that day to look at our Lord face to face? Seriously. Does it excite you or does it scare you? I usually don't mention this, but about a year and a half ago, I had a heart attack. And unexpected to a point. And boom, there I am, code 3 or code 4, whatever the codes were, in the hospital. They said, we're losing him. He's going to be gone. 3 hours, late intervention, the whole thing in Nashville, North Carolina. And I remember they said, we're losing him. I'm wide awake. I'm looking at this big screen TV, you know, watching him look into my heart, trying to find the problem. And I remember them saying, there it is. They found the blockage and stuck a vacuum cleaner in and sucked it out. And I'm not a super spiritual guy, but I will say this. I was a little bummed. I had already in my heart, I'm thinking, I thought, well, my daughter, she got married the week before. My son and his wife were going to have a baby. And I thought, well, I'll see Sebi in heaven. And when I thought about my poor wife, I don't know why I thought this. I don't want my taxes done. I don't know why that. And then I thought, I'm going to see the Lord. And then he said, there it is. So I didn't get to see the Lord face to face. But I'm going to one of these days. And I can't wait. I really can't. Turn to Psalm 119. I love doing word studies. And we're going to do a word study on every word in Psalm 119, please. It's a joy to be with you. And thank you for all the men, what they did yesterday. And I guess we got a side over here. What is this? Is this Patriots fans over here or whatever? I don't know. Okay, I didn't know. I thought maybe they didn't let you sit with them. I didn't know. Wherewithal, verse 9, Psalm 119, verse 9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Wow, how do you stay clean in this wicked world? And it is wicked. We have a desire for our kids and our grandkids to stay close to God, to walk with God. How can they stay clean? I wish we didn't have to live in this world. I wish we didn't have to raise kids in this world. I wish we could live back in the days of Little House on the Prairie. Then all we'd have to deal with was like Nelly's attitude. But we don't live in that day. We live in a very wicked world. It's a tough one for kids to grow up in today. So how do you stay clean? How do we as parents, as grandparents, help our kids stay clean? Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to thy word? With my whole heart have I sought thee, O let me not wander from thy commandments. When I was growing up, I don't come from homes like maybe many of you, and very, very difficult home. I'm one of those kids that went to bed at night and held the pillow over my head so I didn't hear Mom screaming while Dad beat her. Mom left us, and sadly, she left with our pastor. And then I was raised by my grandparents in northeastern Pennsylvania, very, very rural area. And I remember one day I said to my granddad, I was about 9, I said, Granddad, I'm going to go and explore the woods. And he said, I don't think that'd be wise. You'd get lost out there. I said, not me. Granddad, I know those woods like the back of my hand. I mean, I personally taught Davy Crockett and Daniel Boone everything they know. I can do this. Somehow I talked him into it. So the first thing I did is I made a spear. Then I made a bow and a couple arrows. And the mighty hunter set off through the woods, and I saw a deer. And I started chasing the deer. I don't know what I would have done if I caught the deer, but I'm chasing the deer, and all of a sudden the deer's gone, and I'm hunting, and I'm hiking, and hiking some more, and hunting some more, and 1 hour turned into 2 hours, and turned into 3 hours, and I have no idea where I am. It's starting to get dark. I'm starting to get really scared. I'm only 9. I'm out here in the woods. I have no idea what's out there. There could be, I don't know, lions and tigers and bears. Oh my, yes. And I was scared. And it is dangerous for a 9-year-old kid to wander off a path like that. But you know, there's something much, much more dangerous. And that's when we as Christians wander away from God. I have a question for all of us today. Has there ever been a time in your life when you were closer to God than you are right now? Do you remember the day you got saved? You couldn't wait to share with your friends. You wanted to read your Bible over and over and get to church and pray. You couldn't wait. And now it's, oh, yeah, I got in my devotions. Oh, church, oh, man, again tonight, oh, man. And we do. Our thoughts wander. Isn't it amazing how quickly our thoughts wander? You could be out here, your pastor works hard, prepares a message. You're out there, you're going like this, and he's thinking, yeah. They're nodding of approval, and you're going,
Outback or well, maybe Cracker Barrel today, or
when you pray, your mind never wander? And you almost have to ask God, excuse me, I'm sorry, because I was thinking about next week. Sometimes it's eyes wandering. We live in a wicked world. And with everything there is with our media today, it is so easy to wander away from God because your eyes are wandering. Sometimes it's wandering tongues. Something we don't like, we tell our friends and tell them, get a little division going and get a little attack on the pastor because they don't do it my way. Or it's so easy to wander. For teenagers, oh, there are so many distractions in this world to pull their hearts away from our God. So what are we supposed to do? As parents, as grandparents, as encouragers, how do we help young people to stay, keep from wandering from God? How do you stay close to God? Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? The answer is the next phrase, by taking heed thereto according to thy word. Now the phrase take heed is actually one word, and it just simply means to circle around, to wrap yourself completely up in, to engulf yourself in. That's what it means to take heed. To totally wrap yourself up in the very words of God. Now, I've been in youth work a long time. And I'm 47. You can figure that out later. I'm never going to turn 50, okay? And so I've done this a long time, and people ask me why. Two reasons. Number one, I love what I do. I really do. I love kids. I do love what I do. Number two, at the Wilds in North Carolina, where I was program director for almost 30 years, we have guys come in, they work for 2 or 3, 4, 5 years, and then they move on to another ministry. It's just the nature of the ministry. And when they leave, me being the kind-hearted guy I am, we always give them a going-away party. You know, now sometimes it's not always nice. Sometimes they get thrown down a water slide or in the lake, but we do something special for them. And I remember a guy named Dan. He had been with us 4 or 5 years, and he was moving on. So we took him out to a fancy place to eat. Oh, had a great meal. Then we were standing out in the parking lot there of the Pizza Hut and just talking and all that. And all of a sudden, there were like 6 or 7 of us surrounding him. He said, guys, we took him literally and threw him down on the ground. I just happened to have the duct tape with me. I duct tape his ankles together and his hands together. Another guy brought one of those, that Klingon wrappy stuff, you know. And we wrapped him up like a mummy, put a sign on him, we'll work for food, put him in a shopping cart and took him to our grocery store and left him there to check out. We did. And he was in there moving around. He could breathe, of course. And then I said, well, guys, this is much fun. We sat out in the van just looking through the window watching people laugh, you know. And finally I said, hey, you want to go bowling? We'll take Dan, flop him down the lane next so he can flop around while we're bowling, you know. So we went and got him, put him in the back of the van. The problem came when we pulled into the bowling alley, the police surrounded us, and I did have some explaining to do, okay? But Dan was so wrapped up in that stuff, he couldn't think, he couldn't speak, he couldn't do anything. Folks, wouldn't it be so amazing if we were like so wrapped up with the very words of God that we couldn't think, we couldn't speak, we couldn't do anything? You want to stay close to God? You want your kids to stay close to God? You teach them to wrap themselves up in the very words of God. How we do this? God tells us, look at verse 11. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. To wrap yourself up with the very words of God. Number one, realize who said it. Say it with me. Realize who said it. All scripture is given by what? God breathed this. He gave this to us. God gave us this because he knows how quickly we forget. And so he asked his friends like Moses and Isaiah and David and Matthew and John to write these things down for us. God spoke it. Creator God, omnipotent God, patient God, loving God. He says, I have something for you. And he writes it down. And at whatever point we're overwhelmed with the awesomeness and magnificence of God, you realize how special this book is. When you realize who gave this to us, it should just drive you to spend your time with it. Look at verse 13. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. To wrap yourself up with the very words of God, number one, you must realize who said it. But number two, repeat it. Say that with me. Repeat it. What do you talk about? Just in life. I got teens figured out. You know the number one thing that most teenage girls talk about? teenage boys. Yeah, you know the number one thing teenage boys talk about? Food, sports, trucks, and finally teenage girls. I asked the kids, I said, well, what do your parents talk about? Oh, Jeopardy, Wheel of Fortune, Weather Channel, and When I Was Your Age type stuff, you know? I do. I got to figure it out. You talk about what you think about. And you think about what you love. So I ask you, do you love the Lord? Do you talk about Him? Can you wise even remember a time when your husband came and you said, honey, oh, I got to tell you what I got in my devotions this morning. It was so cool. Does that happen? Do you talk about these things? Do you ever talk about your Lord just where you buy your groceries? You smile and say, oh, you got to come to our church. We got a pastor that tells us so much about the Bible. Oh, it's so cool. Do you talk about this? I remember I was doing a meeting in the middle of February in Maine. You talk about cold. The birds up there wear earmuffs. It's amazing. It is. And so we're getting at this church. And honestly, I told my family that was with me that particular trip. And I said, I don't expect 20 or 30 people maybe, okay? Way, way out in Maine. And so 20 or 30 showed up. And then 10 more and 20 more and almost 200 people. And I asked the pastor and his wife, where do all these people come from? The way they answered was so interesting. The pastor's wife said to the pastor, she said, honey, was it the couple from the bank or from the post office that got saved first? He said, no. Remember, it was a dental hygienist and her husband that got saved first. And then the bank and then the post office. These people just so loved people. They were unassuming. So loved God. That they couldn't but tell others what God had done for them. It was wonderful. Do you share the gospel? I would assume many of you moms know what Facebook is. In fact, the teens have given up. They've given Facebook over to moms, okay? They've gone on to Instagram. They're gone, you know. Do you ever share your testimony or favorite verse or even God's simple plan of salvation on your wall? Even in that world, where you're not even face to face, you can talk about your Lord. To wrap yourself up with the very words of God. When you witness, it gives you instant accountability partners with unsaved people. Did you know that? It does. Because now they're watching you to see if you're going to back up what you believe. You say, but Rand, I can't witness because what if they ask me something I don't know? I'll give, here's a secret. Tell them, I don't know. And then tell them, that is a great question. Give me 1 week, I'll study it out. Or next Saturday, hey, we'll go down here to Marketplace. We'll get some, I'm going to bring a friend, my pastor. So he brings my friend or pastor's wife. They know. It gives you a great opportunity. Repeat it. Talk about your Lord to others. Share the word of God with your kids and your grandkids. Let them know that you love this book. To wrap yourself up with the very words of God, you realize who said it, you repeat it. Look at verse 14. I've rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. Again, to totally be encircled with the word of God. So you cannot speak or think or do. To totally wrap yourself up with God's word. The third thing we do here is rejoice in it. Say it with me. Rejoice in it. How do you do that? God already tells us. As much as in all riches. Now, I do work for the Wilds and I get to travel a lot. But on the side, I'm also a representative for Apple Computer. And actually, after the service tonight, out in the lobby, I'm going to have 5 iPad Airs. And we'll do a little drawing. And you guys can put your name in a hat. We'll draw it out and you get to go home with a new iPad Air. I'm also a representative for Ford Motor Company. They're bringing in 12 brand new 2014 Mustang convertibles out here in the parking lot. And we're going to just line them up. We're going to do a little drawing. You can drive home your new Mustang with your iPad Air next to you. Do you think I'm lying? I am, okay? When I started mentioning the computers, you're thinking, I'm coming back tonight. I really am, you know? You know, when you get something new, like a new car, or new clothes, or a new computer, or an iPad, or an iPod, or a Chia Pet, or whatever it might be, you get one of these new things. You can't wait to share it with others, okay? You rejoice in it. When was the last time that maybe through a message, or through meditation, or through your personal devotions, you got one of those truths that just, whoa, so amazing. So amazing. Kind of like, what can separate me from the love of God? Nothing. I still remember the day that hit me. Because I grew up in a home where you would never hear those words, I love you, ever. And I tried to earn this and be good. And even as I went off to college, I thought if I'm really, really good, maybe God would like me. I never even thought about applying to work at the Wilds. Never did in the summers. Because I knew I wasn't good enough or spiritual enough. Because when you come from a difficult home, you think you're nothing. And I lived that way. And I didn't believe in work salvation, but I believe in work sanctification, trying to get God to like me. I'll never forget the day I'm reading through Romans and, what? He loves me? He doesn't love me more when I'm really, really good or less when I'm really, really bad. He just loves me. It's an amazing thing. Those are the kinds of truths you can rejoice in. Look at the next verse, verse 15. I will meditate in thy precepts. To meditate in the word of God, I put to reflect on it. So if you're totally wrapped up in the very words of God, you realize who said it. You talk about it, repeat it, rejoice in it. Now you reflect on it, meditate, think, concentrate. I think so often we just kind of do to God like we do to McDonald's, drive-through Devos. Ooh, good, I'm glad that's done. Oh, and chapter a day, we'll keep the devil away or something like that. We don't take time to stop and sit down and think and meditate on the word. The concept of meditation is incredible. It's actually in agricultural terms, comes from rumination. How many of you live on a farm? Okay, how many have ever been on a farm? I'm in Indianapolis, that's true. How many have ever said, well, McDonald had a farm, okay? All right, Pastor, I'm going to make this real easy for your people. I grew up on the farm. The girl cows, those are the ones we get milk from. The white ones, white milk, black ones, black, or chocolate milk, you got all that, okay? So what they do is they get up early in the morning, they eat the grain or eat the grass, and then the way God made these cows is that if they ate at 6 in the morning, they get hungry at 8:30. They just take that same food and burp it back up into their mouth, chew it up again, put it in a different stomach. If they get hungry about 2:30 later that day, they just take the same food, puke it back up in their mouth, chew it up again, swallow it again. Now, ladies, aren't you glad that God made cows like cows and not men like cows? Because you could be sitting here right now and they're thinking, oh boy, what time's Ray going to get done here? I'm getting hungry. Breakfast, honey nut Cheerios. Boom, bring it back up, all right? Now, we don't do that. But the reason a cow does this is because she wants to get every nutrient out of it. For instance, when you read the Word of God, you got to slow down, chew it over and over so you understand every part of it. Like take one of my favorite verses, or at least the beginning. Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Thou. It's talking about God. So you help me out. What do you know about this wonderful God? Raise your hand if you can give me a character trait or a characteristic of God that really means a lot to you. Raise your hand. Who'll be first? Yes, sir. He is holy. Now when we say he is holy, that means he's unique, special, one of a kind. It's not just that he's sinless. The Holy One of Israel, mentioned 4 times in Scripture, no one else has ever been like him. Because the Sabbath was holy, it was holy, unlike every other day of the week. The temple was holy. God is a holy God, unlike any other. He is holy. Somebody else, another characteristic of God. He is just. He is fair. You can never accuse God of being unfair because he's omniscient. And therefore, he not only knows what we do, but why we do it. He is a holy, just God. Somebody else. Another characteristic. Yes, sir. All-knowing. Omnipotent. He knows what you did yesterday and 3 days before that. He is an all-knowing God. And combine that with his sovereignty. Wow. And his omnipotence. That's a God you can trust in. True? Somebody else. Another one. What do you... Okay, back here. Steadfast in love. Never, ever changes in his love. And that kind of goes with his immutability. What does it mean when he's immutable? He's unchanging. God does not change. It kind of goes with his immutability in forgiveness. Okay, I'm going to blow your mind. How many of you are glad that God's a forgiving God? Let me see your hands. Put them down. So when you got saved, did God forget your sins? Yes or no? Did he? Can I scare you? Is God omniscient? Yes or no? Is he all-knowing? How can anyone who is omniscient and all-knowing forget anything? Okay? He's immutable. If he's immutable, he's immutable in his love. He never increases or decreases in love. He's immutable in his knowledge. He never increases in knowledge or decreases in knowledge. Therefore, he cannot forget. And that is not what the Bible says. Don't get scared. Hang with me. God says, your iniquities and your sins will I remember no more. I've separated your sin as far as the east is from the west. I'll bring it to my remembrance no more. God chooses not to think about. This is better. Forgiveness is a promise. It's not forgetting. Because if he forgot, what if he remembers today? Ah, we're all in trouble. So when you forgive others the way God forgave you, you can do this even though you can't forget. The Bible doesn't teach forgive and forget. This can give you hope. This God is a holy, just, loving, forgiving God. Couple more. Two more. Characteristics of God. Yes. Faithful. He's faithful to us even when we're unfaithful to Him. Isn't that amazing? Oh, what a wonderful God. One more. One more characteristic. Yes. Merciful. He keeps from us that which we truly deserve. What if God gave us what we deserve? We'd all be in trouble. Thou, this holy, just, loving, immutable, merciful, wonderful God, will, there's a promise, keep, little old me, in what? Perfect peace, knowing everything's right with Him and others. What's the condition? Whose mind is committed, stayed on Him. You know what we just did for the last 4 minutes? We meditated. And you can do this with your kids and grandkids, and you can do this with your wife and with your husband, and you can take your Bible, and you can go down to Starbucks and get a latte and sit and just meditate. Let the Word of God come into your heart in this way. To totally wrap yourself up with the words of God, you realize who said it, repeat it, rejoice, reflect on it. Look at the end of verse 15. And have respect unto thy ways. Respect the Word of God. How do you do this? Respect is living with the words, yes, sir, in the tip of your tongue. God says, men, I want you to be holy, and you husbands, I want you to love your wives. And you say, yes, sir. God said to you wives, I want you to lovingly respect your husband. Yes, sir. He says to you teens and kids, I want you to obey mom and dad quickly, sweetly, and completely. Yes, sir. I want you to share with others what I have done for you. Yes, sir. Live with this kind of respect. Respect the Word of God. Verse 16. I will delight myself in thy statutes. Do you take delight in, find pleasure in? I use the word to relish the Word of God. Learn to enjoy God's Word, please. It is a wonderful book. In other words, acquire a taste that results in a constant hunger. Let me say that again. Acquire a taste that results in a constant hunger. In that same trip to Maine, they ask us if we have ever had Maine lobster. And at that point, we never have. And he said, we're going to have it this week. And they brought them to the home where we were staying. These things were huge. I took a pen, stuck it in the claws, messing around with it. So we're all staying in the kitchen looking at these guys crawling around. And then I asked one of those dumb questions because I didn't know. I said to the lady, how do you cook a lobster? Had no idea. She said, you see that big pot over there in the stove? We get the water boiling and then we put them inside. I said, you boil them to death? Now, my wife is very loving and very kind-hearted to animals and so forth, and so she conveniently started leaving the kitchen, headed into the living room. She wasn't going to watch this thing, okay? And as she's walking out, I ask another stupid question. I said, well, do they make noises when they die? And the lady looked at me and shook her head, but my wife didn't see that. So Amber's in the living room. I'm in the doorway. The lady's in the kitchen. I said, here she goes, Mom. She's picking them up. She's taking the lid off the pot. She's putting them in the water. And they give us these little forks, and we dipped it in that white meat, and then dipped it in that low sodium, low cholesterol, low fat butter, and then we took a bite out of that. It was so amazing! I could not wait to get another taste. Do you know what my Bible says? Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. I will tell you what will happen to you. Once you learn to meditate and the Word of God becomes so special to you, you'll wake up in the morning, you plan to get up at 6:30, you look at the clock, it says 5:55, your first thought, yes, I have an extra half hour with God today. That's the way you're going to think. It becomes so real to you and so special to you. Verse 16 at the end says, I will not forget thy word. You know how we live our lives? We're tempted and we sin. And we remember the Word of God and we ask for forgiveness. We're tempted and we sin. We remember the Word of God and we ask for forgiveness. Let's change all that. Where you're tempted and you remember the Word of God. And you obey the Word of God and you thank God for the victory. Temptation, remember the Word of God. Obey it. Thank God for the victory. Remember the Word of God. When the trials come, when the temptations come, don't forget it. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? He has got to love the Word of God. And how does anyone learn to love the Word of God? By watching you moms and dads love the Word of God. I was only 9. I was really, really scared. It was almost dark. I had no idea where I was. And I finally came to the edge of the woods. And I came up to a big farm, big farmer's field. And there was an old farmer leaning against his old farm truck looking my way, almost like he was expecting me. Do you know why? He was. My granddad knew the woods a lot better than I did. And he knew if I got lost, I'd probably come out there. And he called his friend asking to wait for me. If you've been wandering away from God, He knows exactly where you are. And He does. He wants you to come home. Have you ever been closer to God than you are right now? Let's bow our heads in prayer, please.